And this is the Taylor Report, and we are very pleased to have in the studio Ted Schmidt, and he's the author of I Was a Catholic Zionist, A Biblical Challenge to Tribalism and Idolatry. Ted, welcome to the program.
Delighted to be
good,
here, Phil.
Good to see you. What is it about the Lion's Den that attracts you?
Well,
you're talking about a subject where, let's see, we have Muslims, Christians, and Jews.
Yeah.
We have Israel. We have Palestine. And we have British and American. Well, British colonialism was proud of itself. Then we have something that the Americans seem to have a deep interest in that subject.
Well, the DNA for me, what attracted me, of course, was growing up in a Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling very, very warm toward Jews. I didn't see them as Jews. I was just a kid. They were just my friends. And then...
Yeah, well, tell the title of your book. It was...
Oh, Shabbos Goy was a...
But this, and the subtitle.
Yeah. Well, Shabbos Goy, it was just a book of... I even forget the subtitle. Was it?
I like it.
A Catholic and Protestant Toronto.
Catholic boyhood on a Jewish
street.
In Protestant Toronto.
Well, Toronto was Belfast in the early 50s, and I just happened to live in a very Jewish area.
Well, how Belfast was it? It was rough.
It was rough. Catholics had to keep their head below. Everybody else that wasn't kind of a fundamentalist Protestant. But those things changed, and then I knew several people. A very interesting story. When I was getting the book printed, a gentleman named Andrews printed the book, and then we got talking. Where'd you grow up? Well, you grew up where I grew up. And he told me his real name was Anna Levitz. I said, what? Are you any relation to Brian? Well, he was. Brian played shortstop. I played second base. But more interesting than that, Anna Levitz had a cousin that was a legend in the Warsaw Uprising in 1943. He died at 21. And so my DNA is really in the Jewish community. I felt extremely warm there, as I do. And then as a Catholic, my understanding of Catholicism growing out of the Jewish scriptures. Mm-hmm. So when I wrote this book, it wasn't out of anger. It was of a deep appreciation for my roots. And I wanted to give it as a gift to the Jewish community and to everybody that they had to understand that there's going to be no going forward today in Israel-Palestine without an admission of the dispossession of the Palestinian people.
Mm-hmm.
They have to, much like South Africa, have a truth and reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these people can live together.
Yeah. Well, it is spoken of.
Yes.
And we do hear the voices, but they get drowned out by a sporadic case, fights.
Yeah.
And there are wars in the region, by the way, not always related directly to Israel, but there's still... This issue of colonialism has not been resolved.
Right.
We have the leader of France today talks about having a special responsibility in Syria.
Sure.
Why? Because they got there after World War I.
Yeah, Sykes-Picot in 19...
Why doesn't he have a special responsibility to mind his own business?
Exactly. Well, many progressive Jews, particularly people like Tony Ute, the great Jewish American historian, saw Zionism as a colonial enterprise. Their timing was terrible. Just as the world was going away from colonialism and African nations and Asian nations were coming into their own, Israel arrived late in the game and stole the land from the original inhabitants. Mm-hmm. It was a Muslim country for 1,300 years. And they lived cheek by jowl with a small Jewish community. In 1900, only 4% of that land was Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And they got along okay. But by 1910, 1920, when people like Ben-Gurion, and by the way, all of the leaders come from Russian backgrounds. Mm-hmm. They are Russians. And so, for instance, when the Palestinians finally realized in the 30s that they wanted the whole land, they continually lied that, we just want a homeland there. So they sent Lord Peel over. To the Peel Commission to see what was going on, because the land was in flames. Palestinians lost 5,000 people. Mm-hmm. So he said to Ben-Gurion, Mr. Ben-Gurion, where are you from? He said, Plonsk. He said, where's that? He said, Poland. Oh, he says, that's rather interesting. I just talked to these Arabs here, and they're native to the area. What gives you the right? He says, they have a Kushan, which was a land grant from the Ottoman Empire. He says, what gives you the right? Well, Ben-Gurion holds up the Bible. Mm-hmm. He's a non-believer. Mm-hmm. But even Rabin said in an interview in 1976 that wasn't printed until 30 years later, said the Bible is not a land-granting document, but this is what they've used.
Yeah. Well, that subject comes up, I'd say, continually, right? I mean, we do hear biblical references from
all the time.
And by the way, not only we're not speaking of from within Israel, but in the West, the United States primarily, there's the same use of the Bible. And I know this is a special concern to you because you, first of all, you studied with the classics.
I studied scripture for
years. And you taught. And in the Catholic system, you were teaching the Old Testament, as we call it, and the New.
Yes.
And the Abrahamic
faith.
I guess we could say tradition.
Yes.
So these books do draw in voices from all these camps.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I would just tell everybody, we're speaking to Ted Schmidt, and the book is I Was a Catholic and Zionist. But I'm concerned about when I hear the evangelical Americans invoking the Bible.
Yes.
And I want to connect it with a thought in your book. You say that a great deal of the rationalization for support of Israel, sort of of one side, you might say, is due to feelings of guilt growing from the Holocaust.
Exactly.
However, the evangelicals don't feel very guilty. They actually put the guilt the other direction. It's very scary for me when I – could you trace that a little bit? What is it they think is supposed to – why are they so interested in this matter?
What we should understand is Zionism is not fundamentally a Jewish movement. It's an Anglo-Protestant movement going back to about 1600s, 1700s. There's been several misinterpretations of Scripture. As a matter of fact, all of the Scripture scholars in the Holy Land – Christians call Christian Zionism a heresy. It's just a very bad reading of what Scripture is. They take these wild apocalyptic things. So in Israel, there are many, many Jews, serious Jews, and one I like in particular, Gershom Gorenberg, says these Christian Zionists, the whole idea is that Israel, and they were going to come back to the Holy Land, and Jesus is going to appear, and then the Jews are going to be converted. But Gorenberg says, we disappear in the second last act. That's not respectful of Judaism. We're supposed to disappear or be converted to Christianity. So it's a very poor reading. These guys are lousy scripture scholars.
Well, but maybe there's something a little more sinister than that, isn't it? I mean, I would always attribute it to some bad intent there. Particularly given the potential danger in the area, I suppose I'm doubting whether they are in good faith when they say these things.
Well, they just don't know their scripture. There's been a revolution in understanding that scripture is not perfect, a writing.
But do they permit a discussion in their own circles?
Well, many people move away from that. The biggest selling non-religious book outside of the Bible is crazy fundamentalist stuff, selling about 50 million copies among evangelicals.
And then
the Left Behind series. These people read these books as if they're prophecies. Well, this is just lousy scripture.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you how I came onto the subject was one night I was looking at an evangelical program. By the way, they don't seem to be on so much anymore, but they used to be all over the place. You could before cable, I guess, you would see these ministers.
Yeah.
And I was watching, and suddenly they had as their guest was Netanyahu.
This was
before he became the prime minister.
Sure.
And he said, they said, thanks for coming. And he said, I'm glad to be here because he says, you are the first Zionist. And I said, I never heard that before.
Oh, he's right. you know, and it's
that
really
was news to me.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, they're big friends of Israel. They thrive. Not Rabin, but Begin would send planes over to bring Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell over. These people are
the highest representatives.
Exactly,
of the Western
they're very
Christian
illiterate, thing. And they've been called heretical by people who know something about Scripture. It's a terrible problem. They're getting great. They give great support to Israel, yeah. And but many serious Jews, these are not friends of Judaism.
Well, but also for many serious Christians, I mean, you are a Catholic,
yeah.
And the Catholic Church is a historic, profound institution. It affects major role in what we call Western civilization,
yeah.
And so. So to have Christians of your faith and really also many of the Protestant churches sort of shun it aside and see characters that, you know, I might characterize as a little seedy, taking the podium,
yeah.
And being given the podium,
yeah.
By the President of the United States and the Vice
sure.
President.
Oh.
I got one more point on that I just have to ask you about because it so offends the eye and ear to me. There was a massacre, an anti-Semitic attack in Pittsburgh,
yeah.
On a really decent community of people.
Sure.
Murdered. And so then we had a sort of an odd movement of people about, well, what to say. And the Vice President of the United States, Mr. Pence, he appeared in Detroit, and a rabbi was invited to say a prayer. Except that he was described as a messianic rabbi,
oh.
And he said, my Savior, Jesus Christ.
Really?
Now, that is that's when, to me, it gets to be scary territory.
Oh, it would have offended.
That's the Vice President of the United States.
Yeah, well, he's...
Later, he was asked, well, why was he there? There are rabbis all over in Detroit available,
yeah.
But you bring one who has
messianic.
The garments and
yeah.
Says that he's...
Yeah.
Follower, and he said, I don't actually know him, which is, you know, not a helpful.
That's bad religion.
Actually, the story gets worse. At when the Republican Party was asked to explain, they said, don't talk about him. That's intolerant if you don't want him there.
That's
but I would say if the Jewish community has just suffered a hideous anti-Semitic attack and you bring someone who describes himself as, you know,
well, Pence is worse than – he's an illiterate understanding of Scripture. He's worse than Trump.
Where your work comes in is – I absolutely agree. And by the way, this is a wonderful book. It's full of wonderful names that I have never heard of before.
Well,
who I'm embarrassed to say because they're really profound people.
Yes.
And the – where Scripture really is treated with respect.
Yes.
I should let you talk about that. How do we get from a kind of this characterization?
Well, there's been a revolution
to the real thing.
Scriptural studies, and I've been part of it. I've been taught by great Scripture scholars, and I wince when I see these Christian Zionists quoting Scripture. They're very literalist stuff. It's quite bad. But the big change, I think, is among young Jews. I've talked to some of these young Jews, like the Independent Jewish Voices here. They come out of the synagogue and they said, we're supposed to be Jews. We're supposed to love Judaism, not a piece of land.
Mm-hmm.
Zionism is a political movement about a piece of land. That's not what Judaism is. Judaism is about ethical values,
mm-hmm.
and introspection and pacifism and compassion. And it's been hijacked by Zionism. That's what much of my book is about. Because I feel terrible what's happening to Judaism. It's a great world religion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really become the first sin of the Bible is idolatry. When you make a piece of land a state, mm-hmm. and you start to worship that, and many of the great Jews that I quote, rabbinic and otherwise, say that's idolatry. I mean, that's not what a Jew is.
Mm-hmm.
A Jew isn't a Jew because of the Holocaust, because of the state of Israel. It's because they believe in the Sinai covenant of compassion, of concern, et cetera, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
as I do, because mm-hmm. I'm a Catholic who came out of Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
I honor the prophets. Jesus was a Jew. etc. So I've always felt comfortable in synagogues. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, too many of them are Zionists, and this is really sad.
Well, you kind of remind me of Martin Luther King's statement that the most segregated moment on Sunday is most segregated moment in the United States is Sunday at 10 o'clock.
That's right.
Because everybody's separated. And yeah. Somebody walking into the one church would say, boy, we don't belong here, and they go down the street.
Yeah.
By the way, there is a lot of that in religion, people saying, well, I used to belong to that. All right? And when they got this priest, or when they got that rabbi, or when Reverend so-and-so showed up, we all moved down the road.
Well, that's it. Look at Israel today. You know, you have serious Jews, and you have fundamentalist Jews. They don't have anything to do with the state. They don't worship the state. Whenever there's a rally here, you get the Neturei Karta, a brand of mm-hmm. Orthodox Judaism, who say it's appalling what we are doing to the poor Palestinians. That's not what Judaism is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's problems among Jews.
Yeah. And you cite wonderful secular forces, elements that you know, of course, many of them, but I think the name comes to mind is Mr. Halper. We had him on this program.
Oh, Jeff Halper, one of the greats. Yes, I've interviewed him. There's just so many wonderful people. That's why I only quote Jews I dedicate the book to mm-hmm. great rabbis. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't until 1942 at the Biltmore Hotel in New York City that they finally admitted they wanted the whole state. Up until then, they lied over 30 years that we just want a piece of the homeland. But many of the rabbis then said, just a second, we're fighting Nazism. It's about blood and land. And mm-hmm. we now are going to have a state and say that's only for people with Jewish blood? Yeah. We just fought Nazism. Mm-hmm. And no, this is not what Judaism is. So these rabbis, Reichert and Philipson and Elmer Berger, mm-hmm. these are my heroes. Mm-hmm. And they should be the heroes of the Jewish community. Yeah. And they kept what Judaism was. It wasn't a piece of idolatry where you worshiped a nation state. It mm-hmm. was values. And that's the Judaism that I love.
Yeah. And is there a community? I know you belong to I think the expression we agreed was a prophetic tradition and a liberation theology.
Yeah.
Is there a community, Catholic, Protestant, Jew, Muslim? By the way, I rarely hear about liberation theology in relation to Muslims. I'm sure it must exist.
There's progressive movements everywhere in all of the faiths. But ultimately, you know, the fundamental story of Judaism is the Exodus of the Jewish people under Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And there's always pharaohs appearing in history, whether his name is Pinochet, Hitler, or whoever. Mm-hmm. And it's the role of the believers to stand against this, and largely in nonviolent ways. And
by the way, it has to be a minority, right? It's always inevitable that you can sort of push the majority of the people in a direction, but there will be those
Absolutely.
Who say, wait a minute.
They stay faithful. They stay faithful, and that's what these young Jews say in Canada, the independent Jewish voices. They say, we are Jews. We mm-hmm. are part of a Sinai covenant. We once were oppressed by Pharaoh, and now we see the state of the Jewish people oppressing Palestinians. Mm-hmm. We were once like Palestinians. Why are we doing this? This is not what Judaism is. So mm-hmm. you have younger Jews leaving the synagogue in droves, the older Jews trying to hang on, and B'nai B'rith in Canada, you know, going after anybody who just says, how about a fair deal for the Palestinians, who are the new Jews, mm-hmm. being treated exactly as Jews were. Mm-hmm. But as you see in the last page of my book, I show my bona fides from the Jewish community. I have a tree planted in my name by B'nai B'rith mm-hmm. because of my teaching of the Holocaust. So they can't throw that old canard at me that I'm anti-Semite.
Yeah, I have to ask you about that, by the way, because you did. You began teaching Holocaust studies in the Catholic system.
That's right.
1968 through 96, if
that's
I remember.
That's right. And nobody was doing it. And I found out they weren't even doing it in Israel.
Well, Christians have contributed mightily to anti-Semitism. Now, did you experience resistance to that?
No.
Were you the only one?
I was the only one at a time. I threw out curriculum and dealt with it mm-hmm. for at least a month. I would mm-hmm. bring in survivors. I was working hand in glove with the Jewish community to bring mm-hmm. in survivors. Many mm-hmm. became friends of mine. I did it as an act of reparation. I felt terrible that this had happened, and it happened in the name of Christian Europe. This was ridiculous. So I wanted young Catholic students to understand this, et cetera, et cetera. But then I made a bad mistake. I went to Israel. And around in 1990, I began to see the way the Palestinians were treated. And my friend Mary Jo Leddy said, "You're going to – it'll break your heart." It did. I was very offended by this.
But by the way, that doesn't affect Holocaust studies, which should go forward.
Absolutely.
So so there I would ask you – I mean, obviously you should – you would want to separate these things. I mean, yes, there's a terrible experience, and you shouldn't – I don't know that one would be surprised. I mean, we're talking about a political phenomena, right?
Right.
You talk about the pharaohs, Pharaoh Truman and Pharaoh Stalin.
Stalin was a horrible
– made the decision
in
the sense that without their vote, without their decision,
right,
this would not move forward.
Right.
But it did – and I guess I have to ask you about this. It was built – there was a paradox built into it because it was a two-state idea. Am I right?
In 47, they said there's no solving this unless you give two states.
I mean, that is the language. They didn't say, now it's 2018 and we've erased it. They haven't erased it.
No. But there'll never be two states, Phil, because there's 600,000 settlers.
Yeah.
Ultimately, there's going to be one state, and I'm not going to see it in my lifetime. There's 6.5 million Arabs, 6.5 million Jews. And, you know, we've seen what happened in South Africa. It's possible. We've seen Ireland, what's possible. Ultimately, they're terrified in Israel.
Ireland, by the way, as I understand it, is remained separated.
Yeah, but I mean, there's peace there, and they lived cheek by jowl together before. That's no problem. But it's going to be a long time. But the people like Netanyahu keep terrifying Israelis. As Gideon Levy, the great writer of Haaretz, says, we're the most brainwashed people in the world. We keep, thinking that every Palestinian is going to come and choke us to death in our beds. Mm-hmm. No. They just want to live in peace.
Well,
you stole their land in 48. There were only 4% of you in 1900. You kept lying that you just wanted a homeland, and then finally you said, okay, we want the whole thing. And when the Arabs said, look, you were jumping out of a building. You landed on us. We didn't do anything. We were over here. Mm-hmm. And you promised, Churchill promised, Weizmann promised, a series of British prime ministers. Oh, nothing will be done to take away the rights of the Arabs. I mean, this is not what's going to happen.
Well, again, I have to say, we have to borrow from Matthew, we look for the mote in our own eye. We have leaders in London and Paris and New York who preach the same scare story.
They do.
Not only do they preach it in agreement with Netanyahu, but they preach it in their own countries.
In the United
France
Nations.
Is getting very inflamed over presence of non-French, what they call non-French.
Yes.
We are now seeing incidents at the U.S. border that nobody ever thought they'd ever see.
Right.
So this tendency to do that,
right?
There's nothing exceptional about Mr. Netanyahu. He's just one of the crowd of people who do that.
Well, let me tell you about Herzog. Herzog was the president, and then when Syria exploded, and I often say to people, did you notice Syria is right next to Israel? They don't take anybody. People are running out of Syria. I was part of a group that sponsored a Syrian here. And how come Israel's not taking anybody? Herzog said that to Netanyahu. He said, well, it's a small country. We don't have room. Well, yeah, but you brought in a million Russians. You had no problem doing that. But Herzog said something prophetic to him, and I called him a Jewish Jew. You forget who we were. We lived under Pharaoh. We were run out of a country. You're not a Jew. You're not a Jewish Jew. And he's right. He's an Israeli. Netanyahu is not, to me, in my mind, a Jewish Jew. Yeah. I talk about Jewish Jews, the people who hold the values of Judaism. And there's so many of them. You got the Jewish Voice for Peace in the United States. Wonderful people. Independent Jewish voices here. Young people out of their faith. Many of them out of their biblical faith. They know their faith, and they say, this is not what a Jew is.
Yeah.
You know.
But, however, that is only a matter of opinion, right? I mean, it's a dangerous thing, right, to say to somebody, you're not a Christian?
Well,
I mean, those who are supporting occupation or extension, shouldn't we say to them, you're not a Christian?
Yeah.
I mean, because it's
well, was
to me,
a
it's
Christian? Stalin was in a seminary. Was he a Christian?
Pardon me?
Stalin was in a seminary. Nobody ever called him a Christian. You know,
well, his mom, you know, his
come
mother,
on. What are
his
the
mom
values?
Went to dinner with him every day, and they said that she crossed herself while he was sitting at the table. Phil, you were going to say something. Oh, I thought you were. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, he was telling me. I thought it was either a victory sign. It turns out it's 2 minutes.
Okay.
So, yeah. But
where can we get the book?
Yeah.
Phil.
Where can we get this book?
Yes. You know, the best place is online at infothebookband.com. And in Toronto, Book City carries it, and our friends at
And you have online where people can invite you to talk about this.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's my address is in the book. Another book list on Bathurst and Bloor has copies of the book. But
it's a different book list.
A different book list. Thank you.
779
Thank
Bathurst
you.
Street.
Right. Yes. 77 Bathurst
best
of Bloor.
Best bookstore in Toronto.
Yeah. Great little bookstore.
But there's also a store with the word another in it.
Yeah, there is.
And
another story.
Another story.
Oh, yeah, they will have it.
Yeah.
They will have it, I hear. Yeah.
This is the Taylor Report, and that's another story. But no, Ted, we're really glad that you've written the book.
Ted has a blog, right? Theology in the Vineyard, right?
Yeah, Theology in the Vineyard. It's got kind of a number after it now, but I just put wonderful Israelis up, what they write, and there's a prophetic voice in Israel today, as there is. You don't get it over here, you know.
Well, but that's something Noam Chomsky said, and this is where you know, we have this strange inhibitions. He says you get more free discussion of all these issues within Israel than you do
in Toronto. People are shocked.
U.S. Well, also, and by the way, an echo, he was on Democracy Now, and he made they were talking about, do we have fascism, references to Trump, et cetera. And he said, I grew up, and it sounded like you're talking in a sense. He says, my neighborhood, there was plenty of visible anti-Semitism. So he says, I know, and that was the period of real fascism.
So he
cautioned people not to make the comparison. Well, we could have talked all day. This has been Ted Schmidt. His book is I Was a Catholic Zionist. This is the Taylor Report, and I thank everybody, especially Mikhail. We'll see you next week.
That was fast.